Just a little. That's okay. Thank you all so much. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We began there, and we're going to look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by the which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Verse 23. But let every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. I'll begin with a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for the resurrection? Are you ready for the resurrection? Let's pray. Lord, bless our time together this morning. We thank you so much for this time we can worship you in song and praise. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we can enjoy together. And we thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the payment that you made on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for sealing that payment through your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that because you live, we too shall live. We shall be caught up and be with you on high forever and ever because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you for this day in which we can especially remember and celebrate that resurrection, but may it be something we dwell on and be a motivation, inspiration, a blessing to us every day of our lives, Lord, as we think of our relationship with you. I pray, Lord, for any this morning who are here without Christ, they may not have assurance that their sins are forgiven. They may just know that they aren't forgiven. They aren't saved. And I pray today would be the day they trust Christ as Savior. For those of us who know you, it may be that we're not walking with you as we ought. We're not loving you as we ought. We're not sharing the Word of God with others as we ought. We pray, Lord, that you'll have your way in our hearts today. May Christ be glorified. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we're all going to die. Let's go home. You just learned something new, didn't you? Preacher said, I'm going to die. We are. Barring the rapture, unless he comes first to catch us up, we are going to die. We're all going to the cemetery at one time or another, and that time will come. And it's so sure that the undertaker, you heard about the undertaker that always signed his letters, eventually yours, so-and-so. And I don't know if you've thought about what you're going to put on your gravestone, but you ought to think about it. In London, Anne Mann was married. And on her gravestone, Anne Mann, here lies Anne Mann, who lived an old maid but died an old man. In New Mexico, here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising. I don't know. I guess these are real. In Uniontown, Pennsylvania Cemetery, here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake. In Georgia, I told you I was sick. In Virginia, she always said her feet were killing her, but nobody believed her. In England, on the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune. And then in Maryland, here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. Okay. Anyway, and we could go on and on, I suppose, with those. One day, though, there's going to be a great getting up morning. And we're going to go up. Are you ready to go up? We're going to go whoop, 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 and we're up. We're going to meet the Lord in the air one day. There's going to be a great getting up morning, a day when we get up out of those graves, and we're going to spring up out of that old dead ground like yellow daffodils on a spring morning. We're going to be pulled right on up into glory, never to die again. How's that going to happen? I have no idea how in the world we're going to be caught up and immediately be in the presence of the Lord. That's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the rapture and our gathering together with Christ. But we're going to be folded up in the glory, never to die again. And we can say, hallelujah for that. I can't wait for that day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for the resurrection? Because we better be getting ready for the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 15, verse 20 to 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, and then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. If we're going to get ready for the resurrection, we need to see what the Bible says about the resurrection. So first of all, let's look at the kinds of resurrection. And I have a little outline in the back of your bulletin, I think, that I'll try to follow. What are the kinds of resurrection? How many kinds of resurrections are there? Well, the Bible tells us there are two. There are two different kinds. And you all, every one of you, will be included in one or the other. There is a resurrection to life, and then there's a resurrection to death. Which resurrection will be yours? First of all, the resurrection to life. Philippians 3, if you want to turn there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And it should be a familiar passage. If not, you might want to get familiar with Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Literally, if I might attain unto the resurrection out from the dead. That's what it means when it says of the dead. Now I'm going to be resurrected out from the dead. I'm not going to be among the dead any longer. I'm going up. I'm going to be resurrected. It's also called the resurrection of the just in Luke 14:14. It's called a better resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. The resurrection of life in John 5:29, as opposed to the resurrection of damnation in that same verse. It's called the first resurrection in Revelation 20, verse 6. These Bible phrases indicate a separation out from the dead. It's a resurrection of a portion of those who are dead, but not all of them. It means some of the dead are going to be left behind. Okay? But you that know Christ as Savior, you will be resurrected out from among the dead. The apostles preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead in Acts 4, verse 2. Acts 4, 2. They preached through Jesus the resurrection, again, out from the dead. Those in Jesus Christ will be taken out of the dead, implying that other dead people are left. They aren't taken out. Which group will you be in? The expression out of the dead is found 34 times, but is never applied to the ungodly. It's always applied to believers, those that are taken out of the dead. When the believers are resurrected, unbelievers will remain in the grave. They will remain dead. They have no part in the first resurrection, the resurrection to life. What about your part? Are you ready? That's the big question. Are you ready for the resurrection? If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you will go up in the resurrection and inherit eternal life, guaranteed. And I just need to believe God. I need to believe his word. So there's a resurrection to life, and secondly, the resurrection to damnation. This is the second resurrection. The rest of the dead will be raised up from the grave, but not to life and glory, but to eternal death and damnation. I don't like that idea, but I better believe it because it's in the Word of God. And if God said it, it's true, and I need to believe it. Look at John 5 and verse 28, the Gospel of John and chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and all shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, this is not teaching a work salvation. Those that do good because they are good because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about that in many, many other passages. But they're going to come forth, either resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. All hear his voice. You see, when we're put in a casket, or when we're put in the ground, that's not the end. That's not the end. All will hear his voice. For some, it's the voice of the shepherd. It's, "Come inherit the kingdom I've prepared for you." For others, it's the voice of the judge. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Which will you hear? Will you hear Christ as your shepherd or as your judge? Clearly, Christ presents two distinct and separate resurrections. The question again is, which are you going to be a part of? You will either be in one or the other. Look at Revelation and chapter 20, if you would. I'm going to have you jumping all over the place here. If you have your Bibles with you, if not, just listen. Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6. John in his vision said, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. Okay? The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And look at chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." So John says, "I saw the dead, and the sea gave up the dead." You see, there are those who are left. We're going to be raised in glory. Jesus is risen. That's what we celebrate. And because he is risen, we too shall rise. But these are the ones left, and they're going to be raised to judgment. And this is called the second resurrection, or the resurrection to the damnation. They are raised up only to be judged and hurled into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented forever. Preacher, I don't like the idea of eternal torment and hell and fire and gnashing of teeth and burning. I don't either. I don't either. And to be honest with you, I'd like it if it wasn't in the Bible, but it's there. It's there. And so I believe it. And I believe it. And I flee in the cross. So I can take part in the first resurrection. But they're going to be hurled in the lake of fire. So then there are two kinds of resurrection, two separate destinations, one to life one to life eternal and one to eternal death and damnation. Where are you going? What is your destination? Which road are you on? Are you getting ready for the resurrection? Are you getting ready for the resurrection? Well, secondly, the time of the resurrection. We see the kinds of resurrection. What about the time of the resurrection? Well, it's very clear in Revelation 20 that the two parts of God's resurrection program are separated by a period of at least 1,000 years. We already read Revelation 20, 4 to 6. It says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. We're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. We're going to be caught up in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. So 1,000 years go by between the first resurrection, the resurrection and the life, and the resurrection of the rest of the dead, the resurrection unto damnation, when they will face the great white throne judgment. Are you ready for the resurrection? That's what it boils down to. I can believe it, I see it, but have I experienced it? Am I ready? Do I know Christ as my Savior? You know, I need to be ready for the resurrection. So we see the kinds of resurrection, the time of the resurrection, and number three, we see the order of the resurrection. The order of the resurrection. You might keep your place here in Revelation and turn back to our text in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, where we read, "But every man in his own order." That is the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Every man is going to be raised in the right order. There's an order to it, okay? There's an order of the resurrection. First of all, or letter A, Christ the first fruits. Christ the first, he's first. He's the first fruits. He has led the way. And if he had not led the way, there would be no hope for us. And we would not be gathering together on the Lord's Day every week to celebrate the resurrection. There would be no resurrection. But he led the way. His was the first fruits, which means his was preeminent. His was the most glorious, the foremost. But his was the pledge, and his resurrection was the guarantee of your resurrection. Because he was raised, you will be raised. Count on it. Count on it. His was the first fruits. As the feast of first fruits in Leviticus 23, verse 9, the feast of the first fruits was the Israelite had to present a sheaf of the first of the harvest to the Lord. And it symbolized consecration of the entire harvest to God. It was like an earnest, a pledge, that the rest of the harvest would come in. But they gave God the first fruits, the very best, the ripest, the first of the harvest. And that's what Christ is. He's the first, the foremost, the best. And the rest will follow. He said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." I'm going, I'm the first fruits. You're going to follow, those who will follow. And then look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. We'll go all the way back from 20 to verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. And the letter is from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and and is to come, the Almighty. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, or amen, and have the keys of hell and death. He is the first begotten of the dead, the firstborn from among the dead. He arose from the dead, and he remains the first in rank and supremacy and preeminence in the resurrection. In Acts 26, verse 23, we read that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and shall show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He's the first. He suffered, but he's the first to rise from the dead. Christ the first fruits. And then letter B, afterward they that are Christ and his coming. Afterward they that are Christ and his coming. And again, that's in 1 Corinthians 15, 23. First is a rapture. At any time, Christ will descend from heaven and catch up those who are in Christ, both the dead and the living. In 1 Corinthians 15, and you may turn there if you like, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 and 52, we read this, behold, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Today we live in corrupted bodies. And the older I get, the more corrupted I become. Okay, and you are too. But this corruptible shall put on incorruptible. This mortal shall put on immortality. And we shall say, death, where is thy sting? And thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory. We shall be changed. Okay? We'll not all sleep. Some will be living at the time of the rapture, and they will not see death, but will be resurrected while still living in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And the dead shall be raised. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, the classic verse on the rapture, the one we're, I trust, familiar with, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Isn't it wonderful that those who know the Lord who have died, who have passed away, they're not dead. They just went to sleep. And they woke up in heaven. The moment they closed their eyes on earth, they woke up in heaven. And the first thing they saw was Jesus, the first person. And we shall not all sleep, we'll not sorrow. For if we, where am I at? Yeah, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them which sleep in Jesus, God will be with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain and the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's where we get the term rapture. Rapture means to be caught up, and we're going to be caught up. And the dead in Christ shall rise, both the Old Testament and New Testament saints. Some argue that only New Testament saints are described here, those in Christ. And then the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. Well, maybe so. I don't know. We'll not try to deal with that. But we know Old Testament saints will be resurrected. And they believed in a resurrection. We read Job 19, 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And in Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that shall sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. So, the resurrection, the order of the resurrection. Then thirdly, letter C, there's a resurrection of the tribulation saints. The resurrection of the tribulation saints. Many will believe and will give their life for their faith during the tribulation. These are the martyrs of the tribulation. We see that in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15. And I will read Revelation 13, 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay? These are the tribulation saints who die for their faith. Also chapter 12 and verse 11. Chapter 6, 9 to 11. We'll not look at those. And then in chapter 20, verse 4, we see them. Revelation 24, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay? They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for their faith in the word of God. They lost their heads, and yet they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They would be resurrected. Now, if the Old Testament saints are not resurrected at the rapture, then their resurrection would also take place at this time. But we'll let the theologians deal with this. The question I have for you, are you ready? That's what matters. That's all that matters in my life. Am I ready for the resurrection? Will you be there? Will you be taken up to be with Christ? So, we see the order of the resurrection. Christ the first fruits. They that are Christ's coming. The resurrection of the tribulation saints. And then number four, letter D, the final resurrection of the unsaved dead. Revelation 20, verse 5, the final resurrection of the unsaved dead. Verse 5, and the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Chapter 20, verse 11 to 14, the great white throne. This takes place at the end of the millennium. Okay, the believers are going to be caught up, meet with Christ at the beginning. These will be at the end. This is a resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of the unsaved dead, which follows at least 1,000 years after the rapture. This is the second death, Revelation 20, 14. Eternal separation from the kingdom of God, where there's no hope forever. There will be no hope. This is the final act in God's program, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, 28. And those that are not found in the book of life, Revelation 20, verse 15, was cast into the lake of fire. And as proof that their names are not there, not at all, we see that the book is open and we hear God's irrevocable sentence. They're not found in the book of life. John 5, Jesus said, and we read this earlier, I believe, John 5, 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we see the kinds of the resurrection, the time of the resurrection, the order of the resurrection, and then finally, the hope of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection. That's why we're here. We have hope. A living hope, a sure hope, a hope based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11, 25. And in Romans 8:11, Paul said, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." 1 Corinthians 6:14, "God hath most raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." Over and over we have a guarantee, we have assurance. I need not doubt, I need not fear, I need not wonder if I'm going up or not, if I'm saved or not. God gives you assurance. He wants you to have assurance. And it's based upon the work of Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that wonderful? God don't want you doubting. No, get them out of here. It's the devil bringing the doubts. "He that heareth my word," Jesus said in John 5:24, "he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." But I don't feel like it. Well, it's because you still have this rotten old body to deal with, as Jim has been dealing with in Romans 6 in our Sunday school class. We have the old man that we got to contend with. But one day that old man is going to be gone when God catches us up to meet with him. Praise God for the resurrection. Are you ready for the resurrection? May God help us to get ready through faith in him who loved us, gave himself for us, and was raised incorruptible to never die again. And you will never die again. We die once and then we go to Jesus to be with him forever. "And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:13, right? We just confess Jesus is Lord. Take him as my Savior. Just believe. It's not my works. It's not how good I am. It's not my baptism. It's not my church attendance, it's believing. "Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you to save me. Come into my life and save me from my sin." And God will do that. You say, that sounds pretty simple. It is. It is. But it was very costly. It cost God his eternal Son who gave his life on the cross that you can have life simply by repenting and believing. Will you come to him today? Easter would be a good day to give your heart to him. He waits for you to call on him. Will you call on him even now as we close in prayer? May your prayer be, "Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. Give me eternal life. I know you died for me. I believe you died to take away my sins. I now receive you as my Savior." You can pray that prayer even this morning. Will you do that? Let's look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this glimpse in Scripture of the kinds of resurrection. We don't fully understand it, Lord. It's just beyond our ability. For you are eternal. You're infinite. You're holy. Perfectly holy. Infinitely wise, all-powerful, all-loving and kind and gracious. And yet you are also the judge of sin. And we know the judge of all the earth will do right. But thank you, Lord, that in your wrath you remember mercy and you extend mercy to us, grace, your loving kindness so rich and free. And I pray for any here this morning who may not know you as Savior, today will be the day they trust you. They take care of that by calling on your name. Bless our time now as we close. Thank you for the opportunity to share in your word together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.